Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now. Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass with pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and that's the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Drop it.
Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented in part by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com. You can go to TweakedAudio.com, use the promo code WILDTALK, and save like $7 on a nice, cool pair of earbud headphones. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined, as always, by Mace.
Yes, I am here. I shall preface this by saying, I only watched an hour of Raw.
Yeah, pretty much. And
I decided, and just to give people the explanation they deserve, I used my prerogative as a viewer of the show. When I disagree with something, I have the right to turn it off. Therefore, WWE has done things that I am not happy with. Therefore, I have decided to turn off the show.
And joining us... Actually, who? Someone else who watched the third hour of Raw or 3 hours of Raw is Lindsay. No, she's not here. So, I watched 3 hours of Raw. Yeah.
You're the only one who did.
Omega kind of did, but he's not even on the show. So, but let's talk about what you did see. It was made mention that early that AJ was called to a board meeting with the board of directors, an emergency one. So. That's the storyline going into the show. But the show opened up with Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara taking on the Rhodes Scholars in the finals of the tag team tournament. Decent tag match?
It was good enough. It's not like you could really go wrong with a decent tag match, but... I was actually surprised that they decided to go in the direction... that they did with the tournament ending the way it is.
I'm not. I thought this is the ending I thought, because if you go back to 6 weeks ago, they kind of hinted at like Kane and Daniel Bryan versus Rhodes Scholars feud. When they were first named Team Hell No, it was the Rhodes Scholars who attacked. So you kind of knew where the direction they were going, kind of.
Kind of. So, kind of, maybe, sort of.
So it made sense, and you don't want babyface against the best tag team in the world. Because then, after the Rhodes Scholars won, by the way, we had Kane and Daniel Bryan appear on the screen, and these two are just like, they got this chemistry that is like,
once in a lifetime.
Pretty much. They did it in unison, a hell no together, saying that they couldn't have any chance of winning, and their answer was hell no. And then Kane did some magic, and well, he made Daniel Bryan disappear by grabbing his beard and pushing him away, which is kind of awesome.
Best magic trick ever.
So it's like, ooh, here's magic. Yank beard. Can't go wrong with Kane magic.
No.
No. But yeah, when you put Daniel Bryan and Kane on TV together, you're going to get gold. And we got that tonight.
Indeed.
And I hope
that was the only reason to watch the show.
Pretty much.
Let's face it, the rest of the storylines they presented tonight range from shit to why the fuck?
Up next, we had Kofi Kingston, basically squash Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah. Enjoy your role in the company. That Henning legacy isn't going to do much for you now.
Even though Jim Ross tried to put him over like he's $1 million.
Yeah, well, that was different because, you know, knowledgeable commentary.
Oh, that, speaking about knowledgeable commentary, we got a Billy Kidman, Juventud Guerrero.
We actually got some decent references tonight. Marshy Marsh.
So we had Juventud Guerrero and there was a, what was the other one?
Was it Juventud, Billy, and what are the other Mexicals?
Conan.
Yeah, that was Mexican.
It. Couldn't think of it. I was like, who was it?
It was someone Mexican.
So it was like, okay. So yeah, that was that match. But that was back in the first match. He made those references. So, and he mentioned that CMLL tag teams of some sort.
Yeah, what's this references of our companies thing? This is new for them.
Like, they're bringing back history and stuff.
They're bringing up other companies that aren't theirs.
Right, it's like, By the way, if you want good interviews, check out Joey Styles being interviewed by Arno Cal. It's kind of, he gives them really good insight. So you want to check that out on YouTube, it's a shameless plug. We then had John Cena come out. Talked about how the change was in the air. How Punk promised change many moons ago. And now Sunday we're finally getting the change with Feed Me More, and he put over Ryback.
Yay. Because change seems to come only in the form of Ryback. Alright. So these last few months with Punk, you know, lengthy title reign, a person the fans respect. No, that isn't change. That's same old, same old. Fucking Cena wouldn't know change if it came up and bit him in the ass.
So yeah, he attempted to put over Ryback. And then we had CM Punk. He came out, you know, John Cena put over the New York Giants, so CM Punk, what's he supposed to do, come out and say the Giants suck? But instead he said he liked the other Giants. The ones who are now just going to the World Series, by the way. They just won the game in the rain.
This is that baseball thing, yeah?
Yes, baseball, yes.
Okay.
Punk said the Giants suck, and, you know, talked about the other Giants, like I mentioned, and he's been champ for 337 days. Punk said he knew the reason Cena let Ryback go in front of him because Cena couldn't beat Punk. Punk said after the pay-per-view he would still be champion, but he did not like Cena's new role as the cheerleader for Ryback. Cena announced he was, you know, medically cleared and wanted to fight Punk. So Paul Heyman was saying, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." And well, Punk started to go down to it, and well. You have to remember, you gotta pay to see you fight. So you back.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, you gotta always pay to see the champ fight.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's true enough. You know, you want to see a champ fight, you gotta pay.
Yeah. So, I guess it was effective. It put Ryback over Solomon, I guess.
Well, something's got to put Ryback over.
Yeah, because he can't cut a promo, so John Cena's exactly. Got to do it for him. That's where Ryback could use the manager. One of those. Anyway, up next.
Exactly.
Up next, we had Antonio Cesaro and his torn ligaments in his hand against Justin Gabriel.
Yeah, this, I believe, is my lunch-making period.
You couldn't even get through
it. It's Antonio Cesaro match, for fuck's sake.
They had a decent match, which saw Justin Gabriel win with the 450.
Yay.
Which basically...
Didn't we have this match last week?
Yes, and since this is Cesaro won. So this week, Gabriel won, which means they have to go for a third one for the title.
Yeah.
See how that wrestling logic works?
Logic in the WWE.
Well, it gets thrown out the window here. Because after the matchup, we have a limo pull up. Vince McMahon gets out, followed by an unhappy AJ. Back for the commercial, Vince is in the ring, smiling, and, well, AJ's kind of upset.
Is it just me, or was that a very weird commercial break?
It
sort of popped back out of nowhere.
Because you didn't get the full entrance for Vince.
Ah, that'll be it.
Because he was already in the ring. So it was like, half of Vince's entrance. Anyway, Vince said she met with the board of directors for several hours today, and she was here to give the results of the meeting in her own words. And due to allegations of her fraternizing with the talent, she is resigning as general manager. She said those allegations weren't true, but she could have been fired for any of the decisions she made, so she agreed to resign. She said people might consider her mentally unstable, but she thinks some people just like crazy chicks, and that got a good reaction. Then she talked about growing up in New Jersey, living in cars, being homeless. So she went from homeless to being the boss. She said she never thought she would be anything, but the fans accepted her. She thanked the fans once again. She thanked Vince for giving her the chance that no one else would. They hugged, and then Paul Heyman came out. He said he knew AJ's story before tonight and said, "It's sad, but business is business, and business tonight was about the GM of Raw." Heyman said that the board had a decision to make immediately to replace the GM and put over the reasons why he should be, you know, the logical choice. And, well, Vince said, no. He introduced the person who will not be the general manager or the interim general manager, but the person named the managing supervisor, Vicky Guerrero.
And it was at this point that I think everybody was going, fuck you, fuck this company, Cornette face, and everything else under the sun.
Heyman then, you know, Vicky thanked the board for their confidence, and Heyman, you know, he asked her to reverse Vince's decision to give CM Punk his choice for Hell in a Cell. Vicky cut him off and said the match would stand, and Punk would also face Sheamus tonight in a champion versus champion match. She went on to say it would be the biggest lumberjack match in WWE history, and then Paul Heyman had enough and just walked away. Vicky then turned to AJ and talked about how she wasn't cut out for the job, she was fraternizing with a superstar, she had an affair. She told AJ to get out of her ring. AJ started to leave, but then turned around and attacked Vicky. They brawled, big pop from the crowd. Vicky got away, and AJ was left in the ring.
So where do we want to begin with the, this one's fucked up?
So,
shall we go for the biggest flaw of logic in this entire thing that they've just
put in front of? Go for it.
The biggest flaw of logic in this is that AJ decided to remove herself from the GM decision after a blasting from the board of directors over dating a superstar, or accusations of dating a superstar. Yet the one that's put in her place has not only dated superstars in the past, but married them, given them titles based on that relationship, and protected the title based on the relationship. Genius!
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, wait, wait, that's not right. Fucking retarded!
There you go. Yeah, when they brought out Vicky, it's like, she's with Duff, and she was with Edge.
Yep. And yet, AJ, the most popular GM they've had in a long time, they removed her from that position for the stupidest fucking reason, replaced her with somebody that is even worse. If they had replaced AJ with Heyman, I could understand.
Alright, so I'm going to go back to the conversation I had with Lindsay a few hours ago. Mm-hmm. See if I can find the comment. Basically, it was, okay, we saw the tweet and we thought, okay, what are they going to do? Are they going to fire her? She thought they would. I was hesitant, but maybe there's some sort of twist in her, with her and Heyman, and that Heyman would actually get control away, just for the night. And it would
that
be,
I could believe in, that I would actually enjoy.
Right. And then, you know, then you could have turned it all around where it's like, okay, Heyman got control for the night, but by the end of the night, AJ gets the power back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would have been logical. Would have built the main event. That's a good one. It would have built the main event. It would have put heat on the main event. Because, you know, you would have had CM Punk, Heyman in charge, allowing CM Punk to do whatever he wants. AJ would come back, you know, and say, no, this is a match, and you got your heat. But instead, we didn't get any of that.
No, we got Vicky Guerrero for the 800th time.
Right.
Which, once again, shows that the WWE can't stand having two face GMs. Always got to have a heel and a face. And the heel's always got to be on the flagship show to create controversy and all this other bullshit. You could hear the crowd during this entire segment. Like, sure, there was a 50-50 split when AJ resigned, because there was those dickheads who decided to go, you know, put the na-na-na-na chant up.
And this was a weird crowd to begin with. This whole crowd tonight, it was silent
yeah.
and weird tonight.
But at the same time, I think everybody united the second Vicky Guerrero came out. They did not like this decision, and you could hear it.
Oh, without question.
Yet, once again, Vincent, I'm out of touch with reality, McMahon, ignores the fan base and just does whatever the fuck he wants. This is why I turned off the show, because I don't want to support decisions like this. I don't want to support storylines like this. I don't want to give the WWE any credit, money, ratings, whatever, when they are making these types of stupid decisions. And this is the second time in the span of 3 weeks I have shut off the show. Okay? And I swear to God, I wish people would fucking understand that by shutting off the show, you are affecting the ratings, you are affecting their sponsorship dollars, you are sending a message to the company that you do not like this shit. Yet people will tune in just to fucking complain about it. I know I went off last week about a certain segment, a certain group of people, and how stupid their thoughts were. I'm beginning to realize it's not just them, it's the entire fucking human race.
I could have told you that. That's a given. So, can we move on?
Well, you might as well, because you're going to be talking to yourself from here on out, with the exception of one segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shut off the show, and I hope people follow the example and shut off the show when they don't enjoy what they are seeing. Send a message to the company that you will not support their shit.
Up next, Ryback versus The Miz. Ryback beat Miz in a couple minutes. Basic squash. Apparently, Ryback's clothesline is now called the Meat Hook.
Which was a shame, because I was actually looking forward to that match. But then again, it's just Miz getting squashed, so...
That's basically what it was. Backstage, we had Eve running down AJ, basically saying she's a whore. Who gets around with, different people. She mentioned people like Zack Ryder. Caitlyn ended up walking up behind her and said Eve shouldn't be talking about anyone being unprofessional. Eve asked what she means, and Caitlyn showed her a picture of what she took on her phone from SmackDown last Friday, which was an email that was on Eve's laptop, or not at laptop, iPad. Gotta, always mention the iPad. And basically that it was Caitlyn who set up the whole attack on her. Eve said she was going to tell Booker T, and then, Caitlyn told her to drop the act because that we all know that she's still a witch. Yes, she called her a witch.
It's PG.
I know, it's PG. Then Eve slapped Caitlyn, and they brawled. Layla broke it up. Then Eve pushed her, then Layla got involved. And it was a brawl, basically. That's about it. It was a cat fight in the back.
Yay.
Josh Matthews talked to Sheamus, who was promoting his brawling buddy. He started putting over the match, and, Show walked up. Sheamus put the brawling buddy in his face. Show punched the brawling buddy, and he told Sheamus to get serious because he's going to fly across the room just like his doll just did on Sunday. Coming up next, we had what was a really good match, Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler. These two had a really good match. Wasn't great, it was good, really good. Wasn't great, could have turned up a notch. The finish all Kane in Daniel Bryan's corner chanting, yes, yes, yes. And, once Daniel Bryan hears yes, he starts chanting no. That got Daniel Bryan distracted. Ziggler came from behind, hit the zigzag for the 1-2-3. Typical TV match, really good. Post-match saw Kane and Daniel Bryan, of course, arguing, which brought out Matt Stryker. He said Vicky sent him out there to be host of a new, unique game show, and their opponents would be Rhodes Scholars. After the break, we got the what the hell did they call it? Newly tag.
The newly tag game.
The
or
newly
something like
tag
that.
Game. Is basically what they called this segment. And as always, it's pure comedy gold.
Tag team champion, the newly tag game.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WWE's newest tag team game show, the Newly Tag Game!
What?
Now, this game is designed for partners to better get to know one another, to bolster their friendship. Now, I'd like to first introduce our...
We've met...
Right. Why don't you tell the WWE Universe a little bit about yourselves, please?
My name is Daniel. I'm a former World Heavyweight Champion. I do not have a goat face. I am the world's toughest vegan. And more importantly than anything else, I'm a tag team champions.
My name is Kane. I'm a Scorpio. I enjoy long walks on the beach, rainbows, and puppies.
Seriously?
Hell no!
Wait a second, all that stuff is true. You love rainbows.
I do not love rainbows either. You might like rainbows. What is the world's toughest vegan anyway? What exactly is that?
Gentlemen, please.
What are you talking about?
The moment Kane said.
That was just... Kane likes long walks on the beach and rainbows.
Like, seriously. Come on.
He got wrong with...
Like...
It was... Okay, it's stupid as all hell, but at least that's entertaining.
That's the point of this whole gimmick. It's like... They're not... It's not the... It's not like the, you know... They're going all out on the detail for the story. It's like, here's a little stupid things, and it makes it work. He likes long walks on the beach and rainbows. Come on now. And he's a Scorpio, apparently. I think Lindsay was saying that was a no.
She'd know.
She would know. But she's not here to correct us now, anyhow. But after that, Road Scholar came out, said they weren't going to participate in this whole thing. Cody said they would know them as well as they know each other when Road Scholars win the tag title Sunday at Hell in a Cell.
You're welcome.
Yeah. They also said that they left, and Kane said the game show was a bust. Striker announced them as the winners. Brian celebrated like a champ, which was great. He got down on his knees, started screaming, yes, yes, yes. It was great. They continue to celebrate. Then they look at Stryker. Stryker bails. He said he wasn't pulling for them on Sunday. This brought out Big Show. Big Show chucked Matt Stryker. And then we got Kane versus the Big Show.
Yay.
It was okay. It wasn't great. It was Kane and Big Show. And according to the report, Big Shoe defeated Kane.
Big Shoe. Yeah, well, he does have big shoes.
He does have big shoes. After the match, Road Scholars, Kane was knocked out by Big Show, Road Scholars attacked Brian, and they were both down laying in the ring. Basically, they did what they needed to do, build heat for the tag match Sunday. They did a lot of heat building for this match since they had to rush it. Because, you know, last week they were going to crown them and, well, Ray got sick.
Yeah. And, you know, that they needed to spend... They've got a main event that they really, really need to hype in less than 2 weeks.
Well, 6 days.
No, you go...
Go last week.
Go from last week through to pay-per-view about 2 weeks.
Anyway, backstage, Santino Morello was with AJ. He told her she did a good job. This brought in John Cena into the picture. He said, if there's anything he could ever do for her, he would. AJ said thanks, and she did a lot of things that she could have gotten fired for, but not this. Cena said she gave up. She said she should just give him a name and he would talk to that person and AJ could get her name cleared, but AJ said the person was you, John. Cena was stunned, and she said that's why she resigned. She didn't want to drag his name into all this. Cena asked if it was from the business dinner, and AJ said she didn't know. She said she thought it was Vicky, and then started to cry, and Cena consoled her. And then John Cena said he would take care of it. So,
Yeah, because we got to find something to put John Cena in. We got to find a way to keep him in the minds of everybody, because God forbid he ever goes away for, 3 months and heals up and lets the fans miss him and find a reason for him to, like, be wanted again.
There might be a twist somewhere. Who knows?
Doing your goddamn twists.
Hey, I'm hoping.
See, now that's where your problem lies. You're hoping this shit's gonna get better. It's not gonna get better. It's gonna get worse.
Someone has to hope and watch this stuff. So if I hope and...
you don't. The ability as a viewer to turn off the shit. Sure, it means that we probably wouldn't be doing these shows as often, or we'd be doing them Alamogic style, but...
I don't want to do it Alamogic style.
But the thing is, you shouldn't have to force yourself to watch something that you used to enjoy.
But I still enjoy it. For the most part. There are segments where I go, ugh. But for the most part, I enjoy the shows. Because I don't overthink it. And I don't
So that's what it is. I'm overthinking things, is it?
Yes, you go for too much logic and thinking things out. I'm just like, okay. They're doing this stuff. Okay, fine, whatever. What's on Twitter? Pretty much, that's what happens. Let's surf Twitter.
Yeah, okay, so let's pander to the stereotype that wrestling's just for derp heads and idiots, shall we?
Yes.
If you've got a brain, don't watch wrestling. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Turn off the show now if you've got half a brain, because you know what? You're not allowed to have a brain if you watch wrestling.
Anyway. Backstage, Cena was walked up to Vince as he was getting into his limo. Vince said he didn't have, this is neither the time or the place to discuss all this. Cena pushed him on it and said there was some incriminating evidence. Cena pressed him on that again, and Vince said it didn't matter. AJ was still on probation, and she was going to get fired anyway. Cena asked about Vicky getting a job, and Vince said he didn't even know what the managing supervisor was, which he probably doesn't. But it is what it is basically the line Vince left with.
Says the mad adulterer. I'm sorry, but Vince's list of infidelity, mistresses, and affairs that have been played out in the terms of WWE storylines for the past 10 years are about four times as long as anybody else's in the company.
Yeah.
So once again, the wrestling gotta watch stupid brain.
Up next, Alberto Del Rio squash Zack Ryder. Surprise! After the match, Alberto Del Rio locked in the armbar again and was basically calling Zack Ryder Randy Orton. Or backstage with John Cena, he threw a moving guy out of Vicky's office and got in her face. He called her a backstabbing liar, and Vicky said perception was everything, and Cena said he cost AJ a job she loved. Vicky said Cena asked her out on a date on Raw, and then they had one. She said he was the one who cost AJ the job. They actually tied something together. Because I remember that line. And they never said anything after it. They tied it together. Weird.
Well, I'm not saying anything because, you know, I have a brain, I like to think, and not.
Josh Matthews interviewed Dolph Ziggler. He said he hated what happened to AJ, but she couldn't put her hands on people who are fraternized with talent. He said at the end of the day, Cena was the one who really cost AJ her job. He said he was surprised because he thought AJ would have had better taste. Possible Cena and Ziggler feud?
Nope. That would be entertaining. God forbid we ever have that on our television.
Where AJ ends up with Ziggler?
I'm not even gonna.
Oh, come on. I was trying to bait you into saying something.
Gonna happen.
Damn it. Come on. You gotta buy into this.
No, I'm not buying into it.
Damn it.
No.
Main event time. Largest lumberjack in history, in Raw history. Punk and Sheamus. There are 30 lumberjacks there. The one great spot in this matchup where is where Punk goes up for the Macho elbow drop. He does the whole pose, points at his elbow, like he's going to drop the big elbow, jumps off the top rope right back down to the ground, and does a regular elbow drop onto Sheamus. It was classic. It was awesome. Got so much heat. Solid matchup. The finish, all the lumberjacks all around. Basically, CM Punk got the win after he got knocked out by Sheamus after with the choke slam for the 1-2-3. After the matchup, Ryback came to the ring. And Punk tried to escape. The lumberjacks kept throwing him back in, and he got destroyed by Ryback. And he had Punk crawling away to end the show. I guess for
I believe this is the point where you start to bury your champion.
It was effective, I guess. If you're gonna try to build heat with this matchup, you gotta have Ryback looking strong going into the pay-per-view, which means when they look strong, the challenger looks strong, he doesn't win. If that's going by WWE logic.
Guess.
Oh, and there was a power outage, which is why Lindsay was not here. So, yeah, that was Monday Night Raw in a nutshell.
Good. It's over.
Yeah, so maybe next week Mace will watch 90 minutes. Come on, that's the goal. 90 minutes.
Well, you know what would help that?
What?
Give me storylines that are actually worth watching. Is that so much to ask? Give me storylines that are worth watching.
Right.
Storylines that actually make some fucking sense. And not try to insult my intelligence with the most stupid drivel on television. I know that shouldn't be too much to ask, but supposedly it is.
It is a lot to ask at this point. Jason in our chat room. Hi, Jason. Thank you for joining us for a second night in a row. Appreciate everyone coming back and listening to all the programming we do here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. He says, Ryback is going to get screwed. There's no way they're giving Punk a clean win over him. And there's no way they're putting the belt on Ryback. I got to agree.
I can agree with that. It's just that at the moment they're sort of searching for what's gonna happen. Like, they've painted themselves into a corner at this point, and they really don't know how they're gonna fix it. And I'm still of the belief that they're going to have to do something that they didn't want to do. So, I guess we'll find out on the pay-per-view. But until then,
that's what makes this
pay-per-view speculation.
That's what's going to make this pay-per-view interesting, is how they finish the match.
Yeah. This is going to be as we've said for TNA. This will be one of those times where they need an oh my god moment.
Right, as we talked about for Bound for Glory, they need to go, okay, holy shit, this happened.
Yeah. And in order to do that, they need to do something that's going to make us go, oh my god.
And that's the big question. What are they going to? What is it going to be?
I have no idea, but give me something. Give me something decent.
Here's what I want. People out there listening, how many of you are there? I don't care. Email us or Facebook us, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. You can leave us a blog post on there or media at wildtalkradio.com. Email us your ideas for what a thing, what kind of, you know, holy shit moment would be good for this pay-per-view. I want to hear your suggestions, and we'll read them Thursday on the rack.
Yeah.
So
let us know what you would like to see, what would make sense to you.
Yes.
While I sit here and realize that I should fix up WWE 12, and I have to create Anger Buddies.
I did that the other week. It's like, we sit here and talk about WWE 13 all the time. It's like, I gotta play this game again. I gotta play WWE 12 again. I haven't played it in a while. Let's make the Anger Buddies.
Yeah, I sort of realized that myself. I'm like, WWE 13 comes out next week.
Yeah.
Maybe I should
get familiar with this game again.
Yeah, I should get the controls right again. And even though I have like the nice little thing of, yeah, I've already played the game. Because I'm awesome like that.
Fuck you.
Bastard. Hey, don't worry. I can tell you, it is going to be a good game. People will like it. You should go out and buy it.
Yes, please go out and buy it. Because eventually, me and Mace will probably do a show talking about the whole game.
Yep.
Either live or podcast of some sort.
Oh. See, now, here's the little things I don't know, but I'm still discovering little bits and pieces about WWE 12. Here it is, and the game's almost fucked.
Right.
Building a tag team. They can come out together, or separate.
Yeah.
And given that it's Anger Buddies, separate.
Separate.
Yeah. Now I've got to find a way to put the tag belts on them.
You go into at a roster.
I don't want to do it at anything in the roster, though. Because I actually, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it that way.
Just put the belts on.
No, well, the Raw belts are on Demolition, and the SmackDown belts are on the Road Warriors.
Isn't there the regular title belts?
Yeah, they're in there too, but they don't seem to pop up as well. That's weird. I shall fix this.
So as he fixes that, we're gonna wrap the show up because we can sit here all day and talk WWE 12. But
indeed.
That, well, we can say that for another time. But this has been the Raw Post Show. Tomorrow night it is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. His guests will be Matt Hardy and King Shane Williams. Wednesday night it's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Join Jed Schaefer, Brian Blatty, and the Cheap Wood paneling. We might be doing a show at 11 p.m. Eastern called The Hockey Show or Fire and Ice or something like that, talking hockey. Stay tuned. We may be doing it. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. It's all depending on whether Tim wants to do it. Thursday night, it's The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern. Lindsay Ward will be back to do the show. We're going to be talking with Scrap Iron Adam Pierce to talk about his matchup this weekend for the NWA Championship 7 Levels of Hate, so you want to check that out. And you never know what else will be on the show. Think WWE 13. It's a hint. Friday night is the wake-up call with Johnny Cashmere at 9 p.m. Eastern. Just listen to the show, you'll know all about it. CB Radio is Saturday night's midnight-ish. We talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Hell of a lot of fun. Join us every Saturday night, midnight-ish. Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, Sunday night, right after WWE Hell in a Cell. We'll take your, you know, we'll find out what the holy shit moment is or how WWE screwed up again. Then we'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show next Monday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Look out for a new WTR riff tomorrow. It may involve Miss Hancock and Major Guns. That was a lot of fun. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/wildtalkradio, network, and twitter.com/wildtalkradio. You can follow Mace at the Mace Thing. So, for
yes, you can.
Reminder, check out pwmania.com for all the wrestling news, and go to tweakedaudio.com. Use the promo code WILDTALK and save $7 on your on some awesome head earbud headphones. So, for Mace, for Lindsay, for the everyone here at Wild Talk Radio, I'm Sorokin, and we'll see you next Monday night for another edition of the Wild Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. A psychic war, a chemical apart, and I need it to more, yeah.